Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We're going to be continuing our studies today here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've been looking here at chapter number 4, studying verse number 16, which says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, last time we left off with the issue looking at how the Apostle Paul is speaking about the things of heaven and how this is where the Apostle Paul had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and that this is where our hope is based on the things of the heavenly places, because this is where we're promised that we're going to be with him ruling and reigning for all of eternity. And when we talk about the issue of that this is where the Apostle Paul had seen the Lord Jesus Christ actually at his salvation, if we turn over to the book of Acts in chapter number 9, we're going to look at the event of Saul on the road to Damascus. Here, and we're going to read the first 6 verses of Acts chapter number 9. And it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into this city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now, the chapter begins with Saul of Tarsus, who was opposing the things of what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Godhead, was doing with the nation of Israel, the plan for the establishment of the kingdom. We saw how in chapter 7 of the book of Acts that Saul is the one that they're bringing their coats to as they're stoning Stephen. So he's the one that's kind of approving of Stephen's death, who is ministering as the Holy Ghost, giving that final offer of the kingdom to the nation of Israel. And this is 1 year after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you have this all going on, this really means that Saul of Tarsus had been part of the things of where he knew what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. And even if he wasn't actually witnessing any of those things, he knew all of those people that were. He had been talking with them. He learned from Gamaliel, who probably would have been part of those things as well. So he knew exactly what was going on. He was part of that rejection of what was being done. And here we have that he's continuing on this rejection. He's going now, after he's made people scatter from Jerusalem at the beginning of Acts chapter number 8, now he's going to hunt them down, to bring them back to Jerusalem to punish them for what he would say was their blasphemy of these things. And as he's going, you see how he sees a light from heaven. He hears a voice calling unto him, saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And you see how that answer in verse 5 gives the idea that he understood that it was God speaking to him when he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And probably as he was saying this, there was more than likely something running through his mind of saying, "Don't say Jesus, don't say Jesus, don't say Jesus," because of the rejection that he had done of those things. And then the answer is, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He sees the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. In fact, he even records that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 when he's talking about the appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. When in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 5, when it says, "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Now, those appearances in verses 5, 6, and 7, all of those appearances would have been between his resurrection and his ascension up into heaven in Acts chapter number 1. The only individual that saw the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven's glory was the Apostle Paul. Now, yes, Stephen sees him in Acts chapter number 7 as he's standing there to plead and to judge. Stephen doesn't have any interaction with him. He just sees him there. The Apostle Paul has this interaction, and there are a number of interactions to where the word of God was being revealed to the Apostle Paul from heaven's glory, to where he can understand the doctrine that which is being given unto him, and how the heavenly places, you know, this is where the Lord Jesus Christ is, and but that's also where our focus is to be. We've looked at numerous verses that talk about the fact that that's where our focus is. For example, Colossians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, that speak of that issue. Now we see, if we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, that the Apostle Paul makes a discussion here about something related to the heavenly places. Here, when we start right at verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we're going to read down through verse number 6. And it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. But for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now, as the Apostle Paul is recording this, we see in verse number 2, this issue of that being caught up to the third heaven. And then verse 4 is indicating the description of that when he says how that he was caught up into paradise. Now, last time we talked about that issue of leading captivity captive that the Apostle Paul records in Ephesians chapter number 4. We spoke about what that meant and how that was bringing some things out of that captivity up into the heavenly places, waiting for their program, the kingdom program, to be fully established. But we see how the heavens are being divided up into the third heaven. And by the fact that there's a third heaven, this would mean that there's a first heaven and a second heaven, because you can't have a third heaven without having a first and a second. So one of the things that we would have to have this understanding of would be, well, what are these three heavens that are actually being spoken of? And let's turn over to the book of Genesis for a moment. We'll go to Genesis chapter number 1. Here in Genesis chapter number 1, this is recording the 6 days of creation. Here in the chapter, we're going to pick up here in verse 14 and read down through verse 17 of Genesis chapter number 1. It says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." Now, as you read through Genesis chapter number 1, which begins with, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," and then verse 2 shows how the focus is on the things of the earth, and even when there's a description of the things of the heavens, it's always in relationship to what's going on the earth. And that's why you see how these lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars, they're being put into the, as it describes it as, the firmament of the heaven, for that purpose of, one, to give light upon the earth, dividing the day from the night. But you also see how there's the issue of what these things are going to be used for, and how the things in the heaven that are being described here are going to be able to be used for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. All that in relationship to the earth. Now, when you look at this, the sun, moon, and stars, that firmament, that would actually be the second heaven, to where those are placed in relationship to the earth. The first heaven, that would be the sky. That's where the birds fly. The birds fly in the first heaven, the sun, moon, and stars are in the second heaven, and the third heaven where paradise is, that's where God is dwelling, and that's going to be the place where the members of the body of Christ are going to be ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places, in the third heaven. And we know that we have that guarantee of that being true of us because we've put our trust in the gospel message for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and the simple fact that our belief in that work gives us our eternal life, and we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise to guarantee that we will be with him in those heavenly places. Now, you see that this is the things of where, if we turn over to the book of Job for a minute, that we see how Job's going to be recording something of where that we understand that this is where God is. And in Job 1, verse 6, where it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." So Satan's describing the fact of that he was on the earth, demonstrating the fact of through what he says that he has some control and dominion over the things on the earth, but he's going and presenting himself to God, which means that he has access to those places, and his access will be there until you see the things in Revelation chapter number 12, when the war breaks out and Satan and the angels that followed Satan in his rebellion, that they're kicked out of heaven at that point in time. We see how the Apostle Paul makes a reference to things of the heavenly places. If we go over to Ephesians chapter number 3, and we see this description as Paul's speaking about things related to the revelation of the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God that's been committed unto him. In verse 9, he's talking about the purpose that he has, which is and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And how what we are doing today related to the information given to us in the books of Romans through Philemon, the application of this doctrinal information that the angelic realm is learning by watching us and our relationship to the Word of God. And that's kind of one of those almost amazing things to really think about, that because nobody knew anything about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, that the only way that they're able to learn these things, because only the Godhead knew about it, because they set everything up before the foundation of the world, so the rest of creation can only learn about it as it's unfolding and continuing to progress, that they're seeing these things. In the angelic realm, because they knew and understood the things of the law, saw the things of how God punished and chastised individuals for their failures to follow the law program, now they're seeing the grace of God outworking. They're seeing his long suffering of things. They're learning all of this doctrine as it's being, you know, laid out and being lived out by us today. Let's go turn over to Revelation chapter number 4. We're going to see that in the book of Revelation here, there's going to be a glimpse of some things related to the heavenly places where God is. And we see this here. We're going to read, there's only 11 verses in the chapter. We're going to read all 11 verses. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had the face of as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, and the 4 beasts each had of them 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, they are and were created." Now, we know from Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5 that the author of the book of Hebrews speaks about how the things of the heavens were a pattern for the things on the earth as they were being created. So this description, and as you read through these things, you know, the initial grasp that someone's going to be reading through this is going, you know, that there's some things that they just can't seem to understand, like the description of these beasts, and then you go, you know, that it almost sounds to be, you know, and for some people they would think that it sounds more like a fairy tale than anything else, because they're not fully grasping what it is that John, who's seeing these things, is recording as he's describing the things of heaven as he's seeing them. But this is just a glimpse. And what you have Paul, as he's talking about, you know, hearing the things that he couldn't describe, he doesn't even attempt to even describe the things of the heavenly places, because, you know, one, it was hard for him to kind of understand it, and two, you know, we know that we are going to be there, We don't need to know the details of that, those things. Yeah, we need to know all of the things related to how it is that we are supposed to be living our life, and the focus of the hope that we are to have related to the fact that we know that we're going to appear with Him in the heavenly places, ruling and reigning for all of eternity. And knowing that, because we know that we are saved, that we put our trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some, you know, audio files of some previous messages. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information about how to contact us if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything in our website. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.